cool. Who cares? We're doing this in Reese's apartment.
We're doing this in my apartment. My wife just came in with food, and now the dog is going to see the food.
So, when did you get into comedy? Why?
I got into comedy. Just open that door. I got into comedy. I've always been a fan of it. Like, I've always been really, really into it. But I actually started performing a year ago. Just over a year ago.
I could not tell by watching. I'm always like, oh, he's probably doing it forever.
No, thanks, man. But yeah, just over a year ago is when I I first started. And it was because, like, I've always wanted to do it. I've been wanting to do it since I was fucking 14. You know what I mean? I've always wanted to, but I could never, like, get the net up to do it. And then I had a friend actually sign me up for a mic and tell me about it. And then I went up and I did it, and I've been doing it ever since, man.
That's always a good. It's always nerve-wracking doing it. I always was like, I'm not good enough.
Yeah, well,
people are gonna hate me.
It was funny because when I was really close to starting into this, I was in film school, and I had a buddy of mine, and we were always writing together, and we were gonna go perform, and Much Music was doing this show. I can't remember what it was called. It was like Punch Up or something like that, where if you wanted to do something, they would help you do it.
Oh, yeah. It was like...
I can't remember what it was called.
Was it Made or something like that?
Something like that, yeah. And he did it. He got picked for stand-up. And we were like writing together and shit, and then he goes, and his first ever stand-up set was at Yuck Yuck's downtown Toronto. Right? Downtown. it was packed. There were TV cameras there, and he ate shit.
That's the worst.
Yeah, like, I'm talking not like a mild bombing. I'm talking like ate shit. Like everything he was saying, like nobody reacted. He started to sweat very, very profusely, and he was like shaky and shit.
Oh, I know this
and
feeling.
I was watching it being like this, no, I'll die. I'll die if I go on there, I'll die. And then I didn't do it until I had that friend go, you're signed up.
Yeah, just not take away the TV cameras.
Yeah.
Anyone in that situation would bomb.
Yeah, no, it was crazy. And it was great because the first room I did was, it's called Ladies and Gentlemen, a comedy show. It's run by two great comics, Chris Sandiford and Daniel Caron.
Always come up.
At Sheka. And they put me on for my first show, and it was fantastic. Man, it's been great. Like, it's been a hell of a fucking year, that's for sure, man.
That's great, man.
Yeah, I've gotten pretty lucky, man. I've gotten to perform in a lot of cities, in a lot of different places. Lacey, stop smelling the laptop. Go see Kate. Kate's my wife, listening land.
Ladies and Gentlemen is a great show. It's an NDG. It's funny because it's close to mutual friend Deanna Owen. We write there every Sunday.
Yeah,
I go see the shows when I can. It's a great room. It's always like, it's probably one of the only rooms that has like a really solid following in the area.
Yeah,
everyone in the area like kind of knows that show.
There's a lot of people that are regulars at that room, from what I can tell. I love it. I love the guys. I love the space that they've created. And it's great that they're so supportive of people, man.
Yeah, they're really good guys. They're really like nice guys. They're like coolest to talk to and stuff. Some people are like I love comedians who you can just talk to, you know, just be like.
Well, that's it, man. Like I think. Like comedy it's almost like a communications business, right? Like, well, our business is communication. We're talking to people. We're turning things into something great, like funny for them to enjoy. You know what I mean? And it's like that with people. I enjoy meeting people. That's one of the reasons why I love doing this so much, is because I get to go places and meet different types of people, right? So, when you see other comics, it's great. It's great to get into conversations with them, see what kind of goes on with them. It's fantastic. I've got to meet some great people that way.
I love comics who are like different than me, and that's always fascinating.
Yeah,
because I'm just like, oh, why do you do this? They're like, oh, because my upbringing. And it's like, oh, that's cool, this is why I do this. And it's kind of like,
yeah,
it shows how like just the art form is amazing.
It's a lot of different people, and it's one thing that brings everybody together, right?
Yeah.
And that's what's cool about it. It's great. I love that there's a little something for everybody, you know. You've got some comics that are like, I'm pretty anecdotal when I do my stuff. I share a lot of stories that I put twists on and stuff like that. as well as do my material. And there's some comics that go out there and just fire off one-liners, you know what I mean? And I love that shit. And when you see that, it's something different exactly from what you're used to doing. And when you see that, it's like awesome. And you get to meet them when they've come off the stage. And a lot of them are just like really good people. You know, that's what I like. I've been lucky that I haven't really met a lot of assholes doing this yet. I've met a few, not a lot.
A few. There's always gonna be a few in the bunch.
Yeah.
But do you remember a time where you kind of like bombed, like hard, like not like small where you just didn't do well. I'm talking about like you got the shakes. For example, one of mine, I went to, I think I can't remember what it was, but I did a show and it was so bad, like. Like, it was kind of the bad where, even when they said my name, they weren't really clapping. So, it's just, like, I remember, like, my body, was shivering and uncontrollably shaking. And then, like, I was trying to put the mic back, and my hand was shaking too much.
Oh, shit.
And then I put it in, and I remember going off stage, and then, like, I'm walking, and I'm short of breath, and I can't breathe. And I'm sweating, and sweat's getting in my mouth, and I can't, and I'm shaking. Man. And I remember just standing in, like, a corner, just, like, shaking, and I'm just like, oh, my God, what is happening in my body?
I've had, I had a set at Grumpy's.
That's a shitty
place. No, it's not bad.
It is. It's good for what it is. It's good.
Yeah, it's a great room. It's a room that really puts some layers on the old skin there. Yeah, that's for sure. I find you have to do something usually pretty absurd to get their attention from me. But I went up and somebody brought me up to a weed joke, and then I led with a weed joke, and this guy in the front row. Well, it was the only table that was really paying attention at this time. We get it, you smoke weed. And then I was like, yeah, Abercrombie and bitch, shut the fuck up. And then his whole table shut down, and they started talking loudly. And like I was like, the only people that were listening are no longer paying attention to me.
Oh.
Great. So I stood there for a little bit, and I just started to stumble through shit. I didn't know what to do. I'm like, I look at another comic, Scott. I was like, Scott, what do I do? He's like, how about your jokes? And I was like, oh, you fuck.
You're supposed to be on my side.
Yeah, and then I floundered. Like I was flopping up there for like another 2 minutes until I was mercifully lit by Jacob. Yeah, and I got off the stage. Yeah, I got off the stage. I went outside. I ripped like 3 J's in a row. And then I came back inside. I felt a lot better about myself. I just used it as a learning experience. Maybe don't attack the crowd right away.
Not right off the bat.
Yeah, that's Abercrombie and bitch was a bit harsh.
It's a great line, though.
I was proud of it, and I was surprised that his friends didn't laugh at him.
Yeah.
Like, my friends would have laughed at me.
Yeah, if someone said that, I'd be like, ah.
The problem with Grumpy's is everybody's too damn supportive of their friends.
Yeah, people. I feel like I'm always interrupting people's meals there.
Yeah, it's the worst.
Like, I feel like I'm going there, like, there's mics you do where it's like, I feel like I'm inconveniencing everyone else in this room.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's not like music. Like, I can play guitar, people are like, oh, music.
Yeah, I can still talk and stuff, but like when it's comedy, people still think, oh, I can talk and stuff. It's like, no. Shut up. You know? I remember I had, at Grumpy's again, this is one of my favorite sets I've ever done there. At the end of the bar, farthest away from the stage, there's this old dude trying to pick up this young girl.
Yeah.
And I was just like, because hardly anybody was paying attention to me at this point, I'm like, Dad! 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 And then people would start looking at me, and I'm like, that guy at the back, that's my dad. He's not paying attention to me. Dad! Dad! He's trying to pick up this young bitch. Dad! And I kept doing that the whole time, and like, it got everybody going, and then at the end of my set, I was like, fuck you, Dad! And he put a thumbs up, and I'm like, now you pay attention! And then it was a great set. It was just absurd. But it was so much fun to do.
Those sets where you just don't do your material, just do other stuff.
Yeah, I've been liking that a little bit more. It helps you get more comfortable. You know, yeah. Like, that's what I need. I need to get, like, more comfortable. That's, I think, the key is when you're able to use that whole stage, use that whole space, and tell your story. I think that's comfort, man. And I got to get there. Like, right now, I still have a couple things whenever I watch myself perform. That I notice, you know, that I always do it, and it's like it's a bad habit, like to have, like I'm always like touching on my ribs and shit like that. Fun drinking game out there, everybody. If you see me perform, every time I touch my ribs, buy a shot.
Just yell, don't touch your ribs.
Buy me a shot.
Yeah.
If you interrupt my set, buy me a shot.
Just a bunch of shots at the table.
That'd be so good. Yeah, I'd be dead.
Yeah, you just touch your ribs on purpose at that point. It's free drinks. I used to pull my hair. I used to like pull my hair. Then I had to cut my hair for that. I used to bite my nails on stage because I bite my nails in real life. I used to actually do it on stage.
Sometimes. Oh yeah, I don't. I stick to like that. Or like the
yeah. It's, the I don't know why. I don't know why people do that. Like scratching your neck or feeling your neck.
It's a fidget, right? I think everybody. It's just that's because we're not truly, I guess, comfortable out there yet. You know what I mean? We're not comfortable enough to just. Have you ever left the mic in the stand and just talked into the mic?
I try, but like I'm really bad at. We cover this with this team. I'm really bad with anything with the mic. Like so, every time I try with the mic in the stand, the mic will keep sliding down. I don't want to lock it properly. So I just keep it, but like last week I had two sets, both were something kind of went wrong, okay. And I kind of like still I was proud of myself because I didn't let it first. The first one I was at like this Ye Olde Orchard Pub, yeah. And the speakers are right above the stage, so if you walk too far in front of the stage, you'll get feedback. Yeah. And I was getting major feedback. I didn't know why. I'm just like trying to do my jokes, and instead of panicking, it was like this feedback is fucking pissing me off, and then I just backed up. And then the next night, I was at Yellow Door, and the mic died on me. But luckily, it's a small room, so I just dropped the mic and did my jokes.
Yeah, the Yellow Door is a super tiny room.
Yeah, and I'm just like, I'm trying to fix it. I'm like, fuck it, who cares? Like, people can hear me.
That's it. I remember once I did a show there, and they didn't have a mic. And I said, oh, if I would have known, I would have brought a megaphone. Because I do have a megaphone. My mom bought me it for Christmas, and Kay was like, oh, thanks.
Yeah, a megaphone. Just to do your, just walk down the street and do your jokes like that.
Oh, no. I get arrested.
I've done shows where they've asked us to do the mic towards the audience on the street, meaning that like no one showed up to the show, so they're like, okay guys, stand in the doorway of the terrace and we'll do our jokes towards the things. I'm just like, I can't yell my jokes at people.
I would love that. I did mushrooms by myself. How you doing, sir? Hey. With your little kid.
And then all it turned out to was one of the comedians just going like, nice, nice, to every girl that walked by. It's like, no, we're just catcalling people.
Yeah, this is...
this is ridiculous.
You've given us an amp and a mic to catcall people. That's terrible. I do like this. Ma'am! 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 What's in your wallet? Right?
What's in your wallet?
You remember that? What's a Capital One? It's in mine. I think we should switch credit. I think that should be the rule of Capital One. If you say that out loud and somebody's like, oh, I get it, I've got one too, you should have to switch credit cards with that person on the spot.
Yeah, that should be a thing. That should be the next like viral thing.
That'd be great because my credit is terrible.
Now you owe $17,000.
Well, you know, if anybody should, it should be them.
Oh my God. Paying credit is really terrible, especially because I inherited like credit problems.
No,
so I decided a $20,000 check over to Visa, which is nice.
Jesus,
I'm just like, oh my God, I just got a check and I have to give it away to the stupid fucking credit card company.
That's the worst.
It's your fault for giving me money. Like my parents don't come back and ask me for the money back. They're like, I'm not paying you back.
Mm-hmm. That's your problem.
Like, who says like, hey, you've been approved for $10,000 credit? Who gives that to somebody?
Yeah,
especially right. Me. Have you seen my accounts?
I love that. That's why they do it, because they know it's almost predatory lending. You know, it's almost at that level. You know, and I shouldn't have the amount of credit I have based on my student loans. You know, like I had a very large student loan. I still owe a portion of it. You know, but. Fuck them, man.
Fuck you guys. You're not getting your money back.
No, I went to school. You know, I learned some stuff. I'm trying to make this a better place. That's my contribution into that. You know, well, like I owe like what, like $4,000 or some shit. Still, fuck.
That's nothing.
It's nothing.
That's like one big job. You get.
Yeah, but I'm not gonna pay them.
Especially now when you just buy stuff from your house. That's their fault. Blame Amazon.
Yeah. Oh man, my grandmother, my dad's mom was the worst. She came to visit Canada. And she dropped, she was here for like 14 days. And she dropped like $18,000 worth of shit on the Home Shopping Network.
Ugh.
She went nuts on the credit card, and my aunt from England had to call my dad and tell him to take her credit card away. Like, how do you have that conversation with your mom? Like, mom, you're spending way too much on your credit card. Give it to me.
You're not responsible enough. I'll get back to you when you're responsible.
I'm going
to
send it to your daughter. I'm going to put it in the mail. Like, that's so fucking hilarious.
Oh, my God. So, like, it got so bad for me, I don't carry my credit card anymore.
I carry it, but only to look at it and remind me of a time when I had credit.
To remind me of a time when I could actually use it. Now I'm just like, oh, I shouldn't use it.
I get bitter.
Because like I'm like I'm gonna buy a video game. I'm gonna buy, especially with DLC stuff too. Like
yeah, see that's the thing. Like my PS3, I have a PS3 and it barely works. Like the laser stopped working on it, so it's just now just games you can download.
That's good.
But so there's a limitation on how much I can spend there. You know what I mean? Like I bought one game. It was $1.97. It was NBA Jam, and I regret nothing.
On Fire Edition?
Yes.
That is the greatest game. I also have that.
It's so great. Xbox. I love it. It's the only thing I have. You know, like all my, I have like a drawer full of fucking PS3 games almost that I can't play because the laser's fucked.
Oh, that's. I've got Xbox One that I.
Well, I see. I want to get a new system, but I have to justify the time that I'll spend playing it.
You know? Yeah, just get a game. Just get a game to play. Like I play two games right now, or three games. I play Battlefield Hardline. WWE 2K16.
Nice.
And NHL. That's all I play.
Nice.
Like, I was going to buy a Star Wars Battlefront, but it's $100 for a new game, and you get four maps. I'm like, I don't justify spending $100 for a game.
That's something I don't like about video games now.
Going up in price? Yeah. There's not a full game?
I don't mind the going up in price. Not a full game.
Oh.
Listen, if I'm giving you $100, you give me everything that has to do with that fucking video game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like,
I remember buying a Sega cartridge, and like that shit was like $34.99, and that was everything.
Yeah, it would last you. I remember like when I was younger, like a game would last you a good like month to beat.
Yep. Now they don't. But is that just because we've gotten better at video games?
I think the campaigns are like I think it's secondary to online play. And online play gets for me boring a lot.
Yeah.
I don't want to play against other people. I want to play a story. Give me a story to play.
I don't mind online. I wish. I like playing online, but I wish people weren't such savage animals.
They
are the worst.
I have to turn my mic off, especially when someone has their mic, like you're playing against someone and they have their mic on, and I clearly have my mic off, so you're just talking to yourself to me.
Yeah, I hate that. I do a bit about this kid who just talks an ungodly amount of shit to me. I used to play GTA 5 online a lot. And there was this kid, and he just murdered the shit out of me all the time, and he talked the most heinous shit. Like, and I'm like, what is happening in your home life that you know about all this stuff, man? Like, because he sounded like he's 11, and he's just saying, like, the most heinous shit.
Some Ed Bobs dropped in there. Every kid always likes to say the Ed Bob.
Yeah, oh, God knows it. Every white boy on a fucking Xbox or PS Network thinks that that's an appropriate fucking term.
Or, like, calling people gay. I'm just like...
So stupid. It's so stupid.
It's so... I report everything. Now I report it. Like, yeah. I'm like, hey, man.
Like, for real, like... I hate it. When you're in a room and, like, all these people are just... Like, imagine if... Online lobbies were real places, and everybody was saying that shit to each other in the same room.
It would be like the South.
It'd be ridiculous. Yeah, like it's just like, who taught you that this is the way to talk?
Ugh.
You know what I mean? Can I meet your parents so I can punch them in the fucking
dick? Parents are probably like right there. They probably don't care.
Huh? Yeah, they're absentee, probably pill popper, fucking like helicopter parents or whatever they're called.
It's probably just like not caring about what their kids do.
Yeah.
It drives me crazy. That's why I don't like playing online a lot.
Yeah, well, I mute everybody. And then I just go around and murder people.
Yeah. That's always the funnest. Just murdering people. But
the trick is, and with that game especially, what I used to like to do was like go up with a helicopter, like go up, jump out, parachute in like James Bond with my guns, and just go. It worked very seldomly for me, but it just looked so cool.
Yeah, it looks so fun.
Like you're just hanging up there in a parachute, and it's like, yeah, this is badass. Oh no, they seen me and they started to shoot.
Yeah,
just, I've got nowhere to go.
I'm in the sky.
Put float. Yeah, okay, I've got... Oh, they shot my parachute down. Oh, I'm dead.
This is a terrible strategy. Yeah,
I don't... Life is not like an action movie. Yeah.
It'll end up horribly. Or Suicide by Cop is fun in that game.
Oh, man. I used to love when you get out of a hospital and the first thing you do is you just shoot somebody and then you get the wanted level because there's always cops around. Get it up. The game we used to do all the time is like, fuck the story, fuck everything in Grand Theft Auto other than get your wanted level up as high as you can and lose it.
Yeah.
That was the thing we always used to do. Oh, man. I remember when you could, like, take the old police tanks and then put them in your garage and you could roll around in those. Sick.
I remember we used to play a game where it's like, get your wanted level up to 5 and then see how we start a timer and see how long you can last.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember, like, there, I think it was four, where they had like the SWAT team that would show up, and if you were quick, you could jump in the SWAT car before all the SWAT guys jumped out. Yeah. So they're just, you see them in the back, and you're driving and just driving into the river. Yeah, and they don't die.
You're dead. You're dead. It's fun
with the tanks. Vice City is my favorite GTA game.
Vice City was great. I liked Vice City a lot. I also liked the add-ons to that as well. Those were really good.
Oh yeah.
Like was it Ballad of Gay Tony? That was one of them, and that was an add-on to the Vice series.
Yeah, the Chinatown Wars is pretty good.
Chinatown Wars is good. What was the biker one? That was another good one.
I can't remember that one. No. It came with Ballad of Gay Tony. I remember I bought the...
Yeah,
I bought the...
Oh, it's like the Lost Sons or some shit. Yeah. Some stupid made-up biker name.
Yeah, GTA is such a fun game.
It is. I would love to see that game skinnable. So that, like, using, like, Google Analytics or Google Maps data...
Montreal,
Toronto, London, and like you can map out the city you live in, so you can play it in an area that you kind of know. You know, that would be cool.
A little scary. We'll go where the guy hates house and shoot it up.
Yeah, that would actually kind of be scary. Yeah. So that you cannot do that.
I just love that game. I love the freedom of it.
Yo, do you think that people actually do that, like in San Andreas and shit like that? Because it's modeled after certain areas, right? Do you think people actually ever just like this? I don't like this person.
For sure.
I'm going to drive by his house in this video game and just firebomb it.
I remember, like, because in 5, they have I think UCLA is in it, but not, like, they're called, obviously, UCLA.
Yeah.
People for sure probably go up and shoot it up and be like, oh, this is what I think I would do this college.
Yeah, that's crazy. Like, and that's what's, like, there's always going to be, like, some people who are fucked and ruin everybody else's fun. Like, I remember when I first heard about 3D printing. And I was like, yo, what a cool technology. Like, you can do so much shit with it. 2 days later, I read an article that said, man manufactures first 3D printed gun.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, what the fuck?
There's so much cool
things. This is why we can't have nice stuff. You know, I got so angry.
3D printing's amazing.
It is. There's so many cool, like, they're starting to print, like, with bio tissue, like, print organs and, yeah. Like, and body parts.
Prosthetics. It's cheaper. It's like $60 worth of materials.
It's crazy, man. And, like...
I'll go build a gun.
I can only imagine where we would be at if back in the day when stem cell research was really starting to, like, emerge, if they would have been embraced other than, like, looked at, like, monsters killing little aborted fetuses or whatever.
Yeah, I think...
Like, man, stem cells can do a lot of good things for a lot of good people. You look at what they're doing with it, man, it's... I don't know.
I think stem cell research is really good. I think advancement technology is really good, especially with health. Like, I was talking to some guy's like, yeah, but it weakens the gene pool. I'm like, well, people can alive. It's not their fault they're born with a deformity, man, or something. It's not really their fault.
Here's an idea. Don't fuck them, then. You know, like, okay, you're not gonna go and fuck this dude with cerebral palsy, are you? Like, is that what you're worried about? Like, some, like,
I was gonna
like, listen,
cerebral palsy, listen, guys.
Yeah, we gotta, yeah, sorry, I'm sorry for that.
Ask for their medical history before you have sex with them.
Yeah, it's like, listen, do you have any history of any kind of mental illness or any otherwise running in your family? I'm sorry, we can't fuck.
But then they probably wouldn't have sex if there was a history of mental illness.
Well, I would.
The guy that's going after the girl. You probably would. If you were a guy out there and you have sex with a lot of girls, you probably took out all those girls that have something wrong with them. You probably wouldn't be left with much.
I think everybody has something wrong with them, though, to be fair.
It's
like, have you ever met, like, the people who are, like, super polished and, like Stepford people? You know what I mean?
It's
like,
yeah, there's something.
You're creepy. There's a reason you're creepy. You know, I don't know what it is, but you probably have a body.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's, you don't know about them because they're all like, me and my lovely wife, Jillian, are two... Patrick and Jane, we're going to go to church.
Two of the whitest names.
Yeah, I know. It's like, fuck you. Who did you kill?
Like, I feel bad for people who don't... Like, at least, like... I grew up with a lot of, social anxiety, depression.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I used to hate it, but now I'm just like, at least I'm aware of it and I can do something. Like, people... I see it, like, you obviously have something wrong with you that you need to talk to you, but you're just avoiding it.
Yeah.
That's a lot scarier to me than just, like... Okay, like I get nervous in front of people, or
yeah, because that's
I'll wait outside of a party for 45 minutes to get the courage to go in. But it's like, yeah, at least I know that, and I can be like, okay,
yeah, you've acknowledged it. That's part of the battle, as G.I. Joe said. But like, that's a part of knowing yourself, right? Like, and if you know yourself, you're good, in my opinion. If you know who you are and what you. It's like the delusional people that think they're all right.
Yeah, you're like, oh, I'm perfect. I don't need to talk to someone. No, everyone can benefit from talking to a therapist. Yeah.
anybody.
I'm so glad that stigma's gone away. Because I remember 10 years ago when I first started doing it, people were just like, oh, you're crazy. It's like, well, no, everyone should do it.
Yeah, exactly. It's just somebody to talk to with the knowledge of this facet of people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, are you crazy because you go to a chiropractor? Does that make you crazy?
Yeah. My back.
Oh, you're gonna get your crazy.
I've got a stomach ache. Uh-oh. I got a stomach ache that's been forever, and I always have a stomach ache.
But for real though, I have more distrust for doctors than I do for psychologists. You know, I don't. You know how they're always finding new treatments for shit, and the last one was so horrible that it had all these side effects and shit. You ever notice that?
Yeah.
It's like half the time the fucking side effects are worse for you than the disease you're suffering with, and then afterwards they're like this, oh, by the way, if you took this pill, this pill, this pill, this pill, this pill, or this pill, you're probably gonna die. You know,
you need to get help immediately. We're recalling all these pills. Yeah. Like, oh my god.
Oh, you mean the pill I've been taking for the last 14 years of my life?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
It's like there was that 10 years ago they had that birth control pill that they recalled. They're like, yeah, this is gonna cause people to have birth defects. It's like, oh, thank you for the people that have been taking it for the last 30 years. There's a generation of people with birth defects because of you guys.
Yeah, like, fucking, that's why so many kids are being born with, like, asthma, fucking hole in their heart.
You went from asthma, you're like, asthma, hole in your heart.
You know, simple, psoriasis. Everyday
psoriasis. Because, like, yeah, I've got a hole in my heart. I have psoriasis.
Yeah, what? We're the same.
We're the same. My skin gets kind of patchy and rough.
It's uncomfortable.
I need some cream. I don't think people talk about my psoriasis.
Yeah, it's a sore subject for me.
Please don't make a joke about psoriasis.
I have a heart. Oh.
Don't make a joke about psoriasis around me, please.
Yeah, I'm very sensitive.
About my psoriasis. That or, like, I feel bad for people who have, what's that disease that turns you white?
Vitiligo.
Yeah, like, I read the book about the black reporter who has it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and he's, like, all legitimately white. He has to put, like, makeup on his hands and his face when he goes on the radio.
Shit.
I feel bad for the guy. I was like, oh.
It's weird. Like, how did that... That's newish, isn't it? Is that a newish thing, vitiligo?
Because, like, I know Michael Jackson had it, and that he just bleached himself to get rid of the pigments.
That was just weird.
He was a weird dude, though.
He was very weird.
He was a weird dude. That was the least weirdest thing he did.
It was up there. You know, he's a weird dude.
Maybe your kid Blanket's pretty weird, too.
Yeah.
Great artist. That's what makes me think I'm not that great of a comedian, because you're just like, I'm not weird enough.
No,
that's... The people who are super weird, you're like, you must be super amazing.
Yeah, like, well, what's up with you, Michael? Like, is that a... That's what we gotta ask yourself. Is that nature or nurture? You know,
nurture. His dad was, like, crazy.
They all were crazy. Like, this is what I... Like, especially with, like, people who grew up in a spotlight, right? How would you deal with all of that shit? You know, and everybody looks at you as a piggy bank. You know what I mean? Like,
handing out money.
That must be so rough for him. But not anymore, because he's dead.
Yeah. That's... Now his family doesn't have anyone to piggyback off of.
Especially when you're... Jermaine's not doing shit.
Jermaine's like, fuck Michael Jackson died.
Fuck Michael. We should ask South Park for residuals.
Yeah.
That's ignorant. No, they wouldn't even get it because he's never been Michael Jackson.
Yeah. Like, remember they tried to get the Jackson 5 back together without Michael? It's like, no one cares.
Yeah, no, literally, guys, nobody gives
a shit. Nobody
fucking... Who's singing cares. Michael's parts?
Yeah.
Tito?
Tito. Tito. I got it. That was the... That whole family. But I don't know, I just... Like, when I look at comedy, I'm like, I don't want to be a mega superstar kind of, like, comedian who does movies. I just want to be, like, a guy who has, like, a small following. Mm. Even, like, if I had a small following, just paying the bills in comedy, that's, like, $1 million to me.
I just want to pay the bills. I don't even care, actually, about paying the bills. I just want to get to do as many stages as I can.
Oh, it's amazing.
Like, yeah, like, I've been lucky. This first year of comedy, man, I performed in, like, I don't know, 8 or 9 cities.
You know, that's sick. I remember getting my first shot at New York, and I was just like...
That's what I want. I want to check that place.
It's so great. I remember the first time I went, I did clubs where you have to pay to do stand-up, which is depressing.
That's so weird.
It's like, yeah, we're from Montreal. It's like, yeah, give us $10, you go up. Like, okay, whatever. And then second time, I got invited to go, did some ballrooms. I'm going back in March.
Nice.
Going to do Hail the Spaghetti Monster show, which is going to be interesting. Got the dirty We Are the Dirty North show in Toronto.
Oh, yeah.
Things are blowing up.
That's J.J. Lieberman's show.
It's like sponsored by Fleshlight or something.
Yeah, that's JJ Lieberman. That's at the corner, right?
Pretty sure.
Yeah.
Saw it through Instagram. The guy invited me.
Nice, man.
I mean, I haven't met that guy yet. I've seen the show. I haven't met him yet.
It's great, man. It's great to sign up. Sign up's amazing, man. It is. Comedy is just amazing. Everything is. People I got to meet, like, oh my god, we would never. Some people you never would meet through comedy. You're just like, oh, I'm glad, like. Mm-hmm. Like even a guy like Deion Owen, we both know, who's like this crazy hippie who hates big businesses. Like, yeah. What part of life will we ever talk to each other?
If he sells you a bike.
Yeah. If he sells me one of his bikes.
That's how I started, like, seriously talking to Deion. Like, before, like, I'd seen him around clubs before. I talked to him a little bit. You know, he's always very friendly. But I have this habit when I go to shows. I don't spend a lot of time in the room that much. I'm always out smoking a cigarette, which is bad for you, but I love it.
Yeah, who cares? Don't have psoriasis. You can do whatever you want.
That's right, man. But like, I like being in there more now, because then it gives me an opportunity to riff, you know, and really kind of grow in the material. And that's what I want to do. I just want to grow more. I want to be a good performer.
You're. I'm gonna say you're fucking there now.
Thanks, dude.
Shocking that you've already been doing it here.
Thank you.
Kind of pisses me off a little bit. Not gonna lie. I see you, I'm like, oh, I see all your photos. I'm like, oh, that's fucking awesome. This guy's super talented. See all the audio visual work he did.
Right,
and then I'm like, he's doing setup. I'm like, oh. Then I'm like, oh, fuck, he's funny too. Like, this guy's not, it's not fair that a guy like this gets to live.
You should hear me sing.
Just break out into song.
No, see, look at that. Beautiful tenor.
But
no.
It's like, it's surprising. You're like, I don't feel comfortable. Like, you look super comfortable.
I don't. That's the thing. When I'm on stage, I'm very seldom comfortable, man. That's why I medicate before. Like, I wouldn't go up there if I didn't.
What's
it about?
I'm fine. I don't smoke weed.
Fair enough. He means cigarettes.
Cigarettes. That's cool. It's fine. I don't drink either. Because I'm scared that, like, especially with the mental state I have, I'm scared of, because I use food. Like, when you can tell I'm really depressed because I'll start eating. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember when I was really depressed, I would order 2 4 extra large pizzas and a family sized poutine, eat that in one sitting, and just feel sick. Just be like half crying while I did it. Just be like,
yeah, that's a lot of food, bro.
So I'm scared if I do any type of drug or alcohol, I'll either replace that. I'm scared. So
yeah, I don't blame you at all. Then stay away from it.
It's good fun, man. You're super. You got everything going for you, man. Like, honestly, like, I was gonna be like, you're white, but no. You got a great stage presence.
Good,
like,
you.
Great, and it's like, and the fact that you say you're not comfortable is really amazing to me. I'm like, wow. I want to see you when you feel comfortable.
I can't wait to be comfortable. Like, I don't know if I'm ever going to get there. It's something that I never liked, public speaking, really. You know, I didn't like it. Growing up, I never liked doing it. Don't like people looking at me that much. You know what I mean? That's why I started taking pictures. I would be the one to take the picture so I would avoid being in the picture. You know what I mean? I didn't want to be in it, so I'd take it. You know, that's how I got into the photography thing. And then I just got getting better and better and better and better and better. And I just hope the same thing goes for comedy.
You're hilarious. I'm just like, oh, this guy's hilarious.
Thanks, bro.
That's like I said, man, one of the guys who I could consistently watch and not get, like, because there's so, like, I don't want to say, like, there's some people you see their set often, you're like, I'll leave the room when they're doing setup. Not because it's bad, I've seen it, but you every time, like, oh my god, this guy's hilarious.
Thanks, man.
This guy is really funny. I see you up a lot. You always kill too.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I've been doing well. I've had a good run lately. I'm waiting for that big stinker to come up.
Oh, it's going to come.
Yeah, it's going to come, and it's going to bite me in my ass.
For somewhat a year, because Reese did 20 minutes at the first album cover show.
Yeah.
Hit his head, which is funny. I want to see a video of him hitting his head.
Oh, I'll show you that, actually. I have it. I have it from five cameras.
And then, so he was up, and you were second on the list?
I was third.
Third, yeah. You're after Emma. Mm-hmm. Emma Matt, too great. He did 20 minutes, and it was like, watching this, I'm like, I've been doing it 4 years, and I can probably have just barely about 20 minutes I could probably. This guy does 20 minutes of good material.
Oh, thanks, dude.
And I'm just like, after, and then someone's like, I think someone told me, like, oh, he's been doing it, like, around here. I'm like, no, you can't have 20 minutes like that.
I kind of came out of left field, man. Thank you. Like, it's funny because I have a few friends that do it, and they're like, no, you have no business doing what you're doing already. I'm like, what do you mean? And they're like, no, you shouldn't be doing this. And I'm like, Why are you bringing me to do it? It's like, because you're good to do it. And I was like, cool. Like, I've done shows at Abbott, like John Abbott College, in front of, like, these college kids and shit like that. And I was under a year in the game, man. I did a 15-minute set in front of those guys. And I was just like this. Oh, there's a lot of kids. Okay, here we go. And, like, it's cool because it's a challenge. And I think I grew up playing sports, and I had this mentality that whatever I set my mind to, I want to be as good as I can be at it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not really in competition with anybody else. I'm just in competition with myself, right? I want to make myself better. I want to go out and make my personal best better. You know, like, I'm not out to be like this. Man, fuck Will. Will's doing this and I'm not doing that. Fuck that shit. Like, I want to do as good as I can do, you know, because that's all you can, that's all you have control over. You don't have control over anything else.
You can't wait for other people to fail. You have to be the,
you have to be the catalyst of your own actions.
It's like,
and I just want to keep doing more, and I've been lucky that people have the trust in me to put me on. Like, I'm going to be doing a show March 5th at Theatre St. Catherine with, like, Bruno Lee, Morgan O'Shea, Jess Solomon, Trana Wintour, and fucking me. You know what I
mean? Dude, you're up there, man. Like,
it's crazy that I'm on this show.
Kind of like, it's really kind of offensive that how good you are for it. I'm just like, man, why has someone, like, you say you don't feel comfortable, like, I can't find this, but, like, when you say that, I'm just like, I could, like, for me, when I watch myself, I can tell, even now in 4 years, I can tell when something doesn't go, when goes, something goes wrong on stage, you can see it in my eyes. You can see, like, oh, something's not going according to plan. Especially with me, I'm acting all cocky and stuff, and then you see the real Will come out who's scared about shit.
Yeah.
But with you, it's like, something doesn't work, it's like, okay.
Yeah, well, this is the difference. Like, be scared, Will, more. You know, like, I am Reese all the time. When I go up on stage, I'm just a more exaggerated version of this. You know what I mean? Like, you've seen me go, like, you've seen me before a set and on stage. Like, I'll go from talking to you like this to when I get on stage, I'm like this a little bit, man. Like, hey, guys. Like, I just do that because I find that it's a bit disarming. You know, like, they know that it's going to be a little bit silly. You know, I love it because it's just me. It's me. That's why if something doesn't work, I'm reacting as me, you know, but I'm not comfortable 100% as me on stage yet. You know, when you get to that point, that's when, like, the sky's the limit. When you can get comfortable with yourself on stage, that's what I would hope, anyway, because that's what I'm working towards.
Yeah, it's gonna obviously come. It's especially the more you get up, the more you get better. It's like, oh, damn, like, that joke's so well written. I'm just like, oh my god, why is it so good? It makes me like happy to see people do well, and it's like,
yeah.
It's like you get these opportunities and you want to do the best with them, you know? You don't want to be the kind of guy who's like,
Yeah, and especially in this city. I think that this city needs to, like, it really needs to hold its head high, I guess, man. Like, we're the home of, like, the world's biggest comedy festival. Yeah. It's a pretty cool thing to be part of this scene, you know what I mean? So what we have to do is we have to really kind of push each other to get better and better so that we get represented more at that festival, you know?
I think Montreal kind of has, like, a stigma to it of having one certain type of style. Mm-hmm. But, like, I see guys like you, guys like Dion. I would put Wasim in that pile. I put the Cabin of Phoenix in that pile. Mm. I put myself in that pile where it's like, we're just totally, like, we couldn't, like, I'm not the guy kind of guy that would do, like, All Access or even Fresh Faces. But, hell, if you put me in front of the Nasty Show, I think I'd do great.
Yeah. If you did, get the right audience in there, right?
Yeah, Doug Benson had a show last year, you'd be perfect for that.
I would love to do it.
Would CB be perfect for the ethnic show? Do you be perfect for that, like, hippie show they did?
Yeah, that's it. There's somebody for everybody in this scene right now. And that's what I really like. You know what I mean? If you want to go out for a night of dirty fucking shit, you'll go see you. You know what I mean? Like, you could bring some dirty shit. You know, like,
that's what I love, man. It's like, I don't want to see that all the time. I want to see difference. I don't want to see... Like, exactly. I love Leland Beckman's new The Dirty Show. I love that show.
Yeah, I just went out to it last night. It was fantastic.
I'm just like, it was funny because they had Chris Sandiford on the second one, right?
Sandiford was on last night.
Yeah, I saw Daniel Caron do the first one. It was the funniest act ever did. Here's a guy, he, like, I know he wasn't uncomfortable, but he gave this, like, bit that he was kind of uncomfortable doing the sex jokes. It was so funny. He was I'm like, this guy's so talented.
Yeah.
Sean Stenhouse, another super talented. Leland Beckman. Super talented.
I love Leland a lot. Like, that man, he's one of the most talented people going. He's got that bass. He's got that deep, sexy voice. You know? He's
so dope. Him on stage, too, and he reacts to people's jokes.
Yeah.
So good. I just love everything about this.
I love it. Last night, Sandiford got him and the band to give him a couple, like, hit me! And then he would jump and then do a big band hit for him. It was fantastic.
He's so funny.
I love it. They're like, that's what's great. There's just a wide variety of really good performers here. It's just people got to go out, they got to support, and they have to go and tour a little bit, go out and see a little bit more. That's what I want to do. I want to go west. I want to go make my way out to BC, cut across Canada. That's what I want to do. Because then I know I might not have a festival credit yet, but I'll be able to say I performed from coast to coast in Canada, because I already performed in Halifax. I got to get out to Vancouver.
I did Flea Market in Halifax once.
Yeah, I did a weed room called High Life. That was exceptional. It was a lot of fun. Very friendly people.
Different audience.
Very different audience.
They don't understand that you kind of laugh to jokes. That's what,
I love it. I love them. I'm used to dealing with pot smokers because of like most of my friends growing up, right? Like,
yeah.
It's a very unique set of people. And then I performed at a couple of their indie rooms and one on their campus at Dalhousie. And that was a lot of fun, man. Great people out there. I love it. The East Coast is definitely fucking fantastic. I recommend it to anybody to check out. Talk about crowds that like comedy. They're a good bunch.
So you did the Healthy Living show with Joey Elias.
Did the Lawrence Healthy Corber, Living show. Yeah.
Natalie Willits. And I'm forgetting one person.
Chris Vandito.
Because... did a great you did it here at Montreal first.
Yeah.
At the Comedy Works?
It was at the Comedy Works.
Comedy Works. It was a great show. Then you decided to take it on the road to
Kickstarter.
Because I went the Wednesday before you guys were supposed to show up, and they were fucking ecstatic that you guys were coming.
Yeah, man. It was good. We got a good reception. And that was good because it was really like a jumping off point. There's more cities to come. I think Chris has got a plan for the spring, which is exciting because I'm being included in that, which is great. It's one of those things that, again, I was lucky that I have some ambitious friends that seem to think I'm funny. You know what I mean? Like, they want to go out and do something.
Yeah, but you gotta...
And that's the big thing, man. It's like, you can run around, from what I've seen, you can run around and do the same mics all the time, or you can go out and try different things. Because it's going to make you a stronger performer, right? And that's what's good. I found that when I got back from that little road swing, like, we did four or five cities in that little road swing with Chris and
Joey.
No, this one was earlier before that Kingston. Yeah, Habib. And we went down, and like when we got back from that, I felt my material was as tight as it's been like for a while. Like it's good because you get to tune, and you're tuning to each kind of crowd, and you're getting more of a sense of people. I think.
Like, I feel like a comedian. I feel like a comedian when I go out.
Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot. I really enjoy the process, man, and this has been, it's been a fucking amazing year, dude. Like, it's been an amazing year.
It's been solid. If someone's going to get the Calder Trophy, it's you.
Hopefully.
Someone's going to get Rookie of the Year.
I would like it, but I don't know. There's a lot of people out there that are doing good stuff. I just want to keep doing stuff.
You're one of them, man. I put you up there.
Thank you.
Someone who last year be like, especially during that year, it's like, oh my God, this guy is, like, I remember you going on certain comedy competitions we won't name. And winning them,
yeah.
Be like, yeah, this guy's clearly like one of the funnier guys here. You've only been doing it here. It's like,
I'm not allowed to jump off a bridge. I'm not allowed to do that anymore. They won't let me do that competition that champ be named.
Yeah, I'm not allowed to do a lot of things.
Yeah. I was like, okay.
It's cool though. It's like I when people tell me that kind of stuff, I'm just like, you know what? I'm never like, you guys should put me up. I'm just like, okay, I'm not allowed here. What? Thank you so much for the times you did put me up.
Yeah,
I'm
just gonna,
somewhere else is
like,
gonna say
I'll
yes.
I'll go if like, because I still get like, there's still things that I'm entitled to, but I don't think I'm entitled to them anymore because they've been moving a lot.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. But you know, it was good just to go up and perform. I really like to perform, and I like performing in an audience for people that were really there to see some comedy. You know, and there were a couple nights there, those two. I went back to back. But like, yeah, there's those nights there. There's a lot of very attentive people there, and it was great. It was a good little boost when I needed it.
For people to tell you you're funny is probably the biggest compliment.
Yeah, well, I've been looking for something like the business world isn't too fun.
Oh, yeah. not exactly my favorite thing either.
Yeah, you know.
So you hit up Reese hits up with Burritoville a lot. You hit up
I go to Burritoville. I go everywhere, man.
It's on Bishop Street. Great place. Wednesday nights, 9 o'clock.
That's right.
Hosted by Cameron Phoenix and Sarag
Maladian.
great show, great guys. If your comedian want to be on that show, shoot them an email.
Yeah.
If you also, ladies and gentlemen, your first show.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen's on Tuesday nights. I go there a lot. That place is fantastic. That's in Shaker, run by Daniel Karen and Chris Sandiford, two great dudes. And then you can go to Drop the Gloves open mic at Grumpy's if you want to fucking shoot yourself in the head after.
If you want to be inconvenienced, go to there. You can hit up. You can see him a lot of times at the Comedy Works.
Yeah, I go to the Comedy Works a lot. If this is out in time, I'm actually on the St. Patrick's Day weekend at the Comedy Works with Tommy Savitt. I'll be opening for Tommy.
And if this comes out after, you did really well.
So hopefully I did really well. Crushed the St. Patrick's Day weekend.
The second applause break I thought was a little long, though. That minute applause break you got. But it was good.
To be fair, have you ever seen a dude vomit on himself that impressively? St. Patrick's Day, man.
If you hit up on the Comedy Rooms, you can follow him on Facebook.
Yeah. Find me on Facebook. It's my name, Reese Turner, or Twitter. At @RE_ReeseT. And Instagram, same shit.
Healthy Living, hit up that. Yeah. Joey Elias.
That's it. Follow all those people. Chris Vendito, Lawrence Korber, Natalie Willett, all those great folk.
Or follow all of them except for one. You choose.
Yeah, don't follow anybody.
Just follow Reese. Follow Reese and be like, he should go solo, man.
Yeah, you tell me to Shawn Michaels somebody through a window.
Yeah, taking Joey Elias and throwing him through a barbershop window.
I can't do that. Joey could probably beat me up.
Yeah, he turn you up.
I'm going to do that to the smallest person I can find. I'll do that to a small child.
Throwing through a barbershop window.
I'll find a small child and just chuck him right through. There's two barbershops in close proximity to my apartment and a school.
Yeah,
this might happen.
Perfect recipe.
Look at the news.
Hit it up. He's great. Thanks, Reese.
No problem.
It's been amazing.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun, man.